Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. All right, so we're sitting here outside on the deck with Ken Crawford, and it's still social distancing, but we're keeping our distance, and Ken has graciously came over to meet with us on my deck. So thanks a lot, Ken.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
All right.
So good day outside.
Yep. So I met you a couple of times. I know at the Ridge, and I think maybe in Ingersoll. Were you ever out at Ingersoll at the Joker's Crown?
Yes.
Okay, so I met you a couple of times there. And we got one project in the works that we could maybe talk about, depending on if it's going to happen or not. But well, in the meantime, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you're up to?
Well, I'm from Gordon Lightfoot's neck of the woods up
in
Roya.
Oh, wow.
Born in Roya.
Okay.
Raised just outside of town in Oro Township.
Okay.
And so I lived in Oro Township most of my younger life.
Yeah.
Barrie a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm up in that area.
That's great.
Lived up there quite a bit.
Yeah.
Till I was probably maybe 25.
Okay.
Or something. Yep. I was in that area.
That's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
So. Okay. You started playing guitar when you were...
I started playing guitar when I was in grade 8.
Okay.
So just before high school. My aunt had bought a Hawaiian guitar for me.
Okay.
Like the old,
yep,
Kmart or whatever, Zeller, okay, Specials or whatever it was back then, where the strings were, you know, 3 inches from,
yep,
the neck,
okay,
and you had to really press on it. And stuff like
was
that
one that you had legs on it, or is that an actual guitar?
No, Hawaiian guitar, just one of the small ones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And didn't sound the greatest, obviously,
yep,
but it, you know, I didn't know a lot back then, so
okay,
I started from scratch.
Yeah, good.
Just back then, all I wanted to do is I just wanted to play and sing.
Yep.
You know, so I learned the basics and started the 3-chord wonder songs.
That's all right.
Kind of just went from there.
Yep.
I was never really interested in playing lead guitar too much.
Yep.
It was just something that kind of fell upon me because I just didn't find the people that would fit in or
yep,
stayed with the band long.
Okay.
But
yep,
that was a little later on, of
okay,
course. But yeah, so I started with that.
What sort of influence would have like Gordon Lightfoot have had in that town even back then? Like, was he a larger-than-life figure?
Yeah, I never got to meet him or anything. My mom, obviously, she went to school with him.
Oh, really?
Her and her brothers.
Okay.
So she knew of him, not too personally, but,
yep,
you know,
okay,
passerby kind of thing. He was definitely an influence. All the folk, acoustic-oriented music was,
oh, yeah,
was my influence, whether it be Canadian or American or whatever.
Yeah.
But that was my main influence. The Led Zeppelin and all that kind of stuff, because I wasn't really into the lead guitar part.
Yeah.
I was into the vocals the most.
Okay.
And so the guitar, for me, was just an instrument to back up my singing.
Okay, great.
Because I just wanted to sing.
Yeah.
So, so most of the bands that I really liked either had a huge vocal influence on me,
yep,
like Boston.
Or Journey and those kind of
Journey
bands.
Journey and,
sure,
and those kind of bands.
Yep.
Or they were the guitar influence, like Neil Young, Gordon Lightfoot, James Taylor,
yep,
Joni Mitchell,
okay,
all Bob Dylan, all
yep,
that folky, acoustic, or country,
yep,
like John Denver and that kind of stuff.
Yep. That fits exactly with all my upbringing, too. I'm kind of the same ballgame, so.
Yeah.
Great. All right, well, Ken just mentioned one of his big influences was Neil Young. And later in the program, we're going to learn about one of his tribute bands. It's called Ragged Glory. We're going to hear a little bit of music from that later on in the program. But right now, we're going to hear Ken singing the Neil Young classic, Tell Me Why. It came from the 1970 Neil Young album called After the Gold Rush.
Sailing hardships through Craig Beck, and you're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM Waterloo.
Because I would just sit outside by the campfire, sit outside on my own, you know, after school, get under a tree and just play some tunes, right? So that's all I really wanted to do. And then when I got a little bit older, I bought an electric, and after playing the Hawaiian for so long, my fingers were pretty tough.
Oh, that, the price, yeah.
So steel. Jumping on the electric was like butter. It was, it was so smooth. It was like, wow, this seems so easy.
Yeah.
But so then I just got a band together and went from there.
Okay. You know, as far as in your high school years or
after? High school years. Yeah. Okay. We got some friends together who lived close.
Yeah.
Got a band together. That one never really played anywhere though.
Yeah.
We just kind of we just went over and made a lot of noise and drove our parents crazy.
Yeah, that's good because that's when you finally learn how to fit in with a bass player and a drummer and harmonies and everything. So it's good to make that jump.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yep.
Loud but fun.
That's okay. Well, you're a teenager. You just
have that's right.
Blow off some steam playing instruments and stuff.
Yeah. So. And then after that, after school was done, started a band called Harvest, which was a country. Folk, rock, country, a mixture of different things.
Okay.
But again, it was a lot of acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
And then I would just hire a lead guitar player.
Okay, that's right.
And then the bass player and drummer, they were kind of the regulars in the band.
Okay.
The lead guitarist would come and go.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to play lead, because every once in a blue moon, lead guitarist wouldn't show up because he was just a subber.
Where they would spontaneously combust Spinal Tap or whatever, didn't they?
We'd be up playing up north somewhere, because we played up north quite a bit.
Yep.
And I'd get a phone call like 2 hours or even an hour before the gig. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Oh,
I'm playing lead guitar again tonight. So I kind of just faked it until I gave up and
I've heard of,
had to learn a bit.
The one, I don't even know what band it was, but the guy, he went out on break to get some cigarettes or something, and he got arrested. I guess he had some contraband in his car, and the band's ready to start the next set. And, you know, where's Bill? Where did he go? And then finally the police came in to tell him what happened. But anyway, that's, I don't know. It's hard to rely on bandmates sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yep. Crazy.
I was lucky that the bass of the band I could rely on.
Yep.
But the lead guitar player, I just couldn't find one.
All right, a little bit later in this program, Ken's going to be talking about a tribute band that he's put together. It's called True North Tribute. It's a band that only plays Canadian music. And so here's a Canadian song. This is actually On the Porch. I'm playing mandolin, and Ken is playing guitar and singing. It's Bob Cajun by the Tragically Hip.
Falling on clouds.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So you were the lead singer in the acoustic player then most of the time? Or?
Yeah, and then I would play electric too, okay. And play a little bit of lead. I'd keep it simple.
And you're working full-time? You're not just playing music?
Playing almost full-time.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I still work during the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that for a short time, but that's really tough on your body.
Yeah.
To get up early in the morning and work, and then each day is a 16, 18-hour day kind of thing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because back then it was a lot different than it is now. There was quite a few clubs where you could play almost a full week.
Yeah, you play Monday to Sunday or something.
And then sometimes there'd be afternoon ones.
Oh, yeah.
Matinees or whatever. Some of the bigger ones, we'd play Monday to Sunday. You go in there Monday and Tuesday, they consider it a practice night for you, like a write-off for them.
Yep.
And then Wednesday or Thursday, they'd have a jam night, Saturday matinee.
Yeah.
And then the Friday, Saturday, Sunday at night were the big,
yep.
The main gigs.
Oh, yeah.
That's when you had to play well, but, you know, those were the days.
I remember doing Tommy's in downtown Kitchener. I don't know if you ever were living here in that, those... Because it probably closed 25 years ago, I bet. But
I'd be in Barrie.
Yeah, but that place had Saturday matinee and Sunday matinee. It was crazy. Like you played 7 nights and 2 matinees, so you're pretty drained at the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah. By Sunday night, it took a while to get home.
Oh, for sure. Crazy. Okay.
And back then too, a lot of them would give you the hotel rooms, right?
Yeah.
They'd give you a room or something.
Oh, for sure.
So that was okay.
Yeah.
Then we get some sleep before we get home. I remember sitting out just to see what I could see. Pick our roll and buy airplanes by, and how they all meant nothing to me. Never looked my way or knew that I was there. Kept walking in the rain, kept raining until all the streets were bare.
Ooh, feeling fine, mama. Raining ladies in a bottle of wine, mama. Ooh, feeling good, mama. They took my money like I knew they would. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Kept thinking about the day when I'd be home again. Rocking chairs and summer fairs, swimming in the sea. Kept drinking, sinking till there was nothing left of me.
So 25, you moved from Aurelius. Where did you end up then at that point?
I moved around a lot. So from there, we ended up probably maybe about 5 years. So I would have been 30.
Okay.
By time we actually, because in around that time, I met my ex-wife.
Yep.
Got married, and then near the end of that five-year period, had a daughter. And so with the new daughter and new responsibilities and everything, I thought, well, I need to, the money's just not,
yeah, for
the
sure.
Money's okay, but it's not enough to have a family. So I decided then that, I'd kind of buckled down, moved to Mississauga. And got a different job. And
okay.
Went to university for accounting and business.
Good for you, yeah. We have that in common as well, so.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So that's what I did for almost 10 years.
Okay.
Did that.
Yeah.
And then at some point, my wife just said, you got to start playing because you're driving me crazy. And yep. I can tell that you're driving yourself crazy because you're not playing. So at that point, I said, I'll just keep it to a minimum and I'll just join somebody else's band. And so I joined. By then, we had also moved to Hamilton because I'd gotten a job with a corporation in Burlington.
Okay, yeah.
And was working there. So joined a country band in Hamilton. And that was pretty good because then I could just, sing a little bit. Didn't even have to play lead at all at that point.
Okay.
And, just kept it simple.
Yeah. Well, the neat thing is you learn another style of music too, because if you're doing more of the folk and rock stuff and everything, then...
Yeah, we were doing Brooks and Dunn and Alan Jackson.
Yep. That's all right.
And the old stuff too.
Yeah. So I played the Plantation many, many years ago in Hamilton. Where else did you play in Hamilton?
We played the Come By Chance.
Okay.
It's hard to remember them now.
Yeah.
Most of them are closed.
I did the Derby. That's the only two places I think I played in Hamilton. So.
Yeah.
I was Roost
mostly
was
along Barton
yeah.
Street.
And oh, okay.
There was one in Dundas too, and I don't remember the name of that.
Owl's Roost used to be in Dundas. I don't
okay,
know.
So maybe that's it.
It used to have a laundromat in the bar. Like, so the front was the laundromat, and then the back was the bar.
Okay, so maybe that's it, because I remember walking out back to get in. So
that was a good place.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
And there was a few on the Jack's Roadhouse on the mountain.
Okay, I don't know. That.
Yeah.
So good, that's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's neat.
So we played pretty much in the Hamilton area.
Yep.
The main members of the band lived in Stony Creek, and
okay,
they
so
didn't
more,
really want to travel or anything. They just did it for fun.
More
but
anymore.
We all did it for fun at that point. So.
Okay.
Have you ever done How Long by Blue Rodeo?
How Long? Okay, well, can you try it? I don't think I've ever played that one, but...
I hear you talking everywhere. Words on the loudspeakers hanging in the air. Everywhere. I remember the words you told me to. This town's full of losers trying to get a piece of you.
Whoops.
Really think that's true? Never even realized
blessing, now they're gone. Where have they gone? Did I ever tell you what I thought you did for me? Some things cost too much, even when they're free. Even when they're free. How long will it take till you open up your eyes? I've been gone for years, never even realized.
I'm Tom Nunn from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
So I know before this interview you told me a couple of funny stories, so maybe you could keep it clean.
Tell me
one that's not radio friendly, funny story if you got from those days. I'm sure there's some crazy stuff, whether it was the Harvest Band as a single guy or
when I had the Harvest Band. Harvest Band was my band, and we started just playing pretty much in Barrie and Arroyo, and then after we started to spread out, we had an agent at one point. But we were playing up in Parry Sound quite a bit, area. Parry Sound, Huntsville, and the northern areas quite a bit.
Yep.
And especially the vacation spots.
Yep. Okay.
So there was one vacation spot that we used to play at all the time. He would book us sometimes twice a month. It was a regular spot for us. Beautiful spot. And we'll mention any names. But anyway, we were playing there one night, one weekend. And we set up, and they were going to have a pig roast. It was right on the lake. You could rent a boat and do the whole thing.
Okay.
So they're having a pig roast, and we were supposed to play the Friday and Saturday night. Well, it was one of those weekends where when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would always keep all my stuff together, including the drummers and everybody else's stuff, because I had to deal with the guys that basically all they had to do was show up and play. I would do everything.
Oh, so you had a van or something with everybody's instruments? Okay.
So I would load up from where I lived.
Yeah.
Take everything, get up there nice and early, because I hated to be doing everything at the last minute. Got up there nice and early, relax for a bit, set everything up, do a sound check.
Oh, wow.
A basic sound check.
That's huge. That's a lot of work.
And then I'd sit down and, you know, I'd have a beer and go fishing and go out in the boat. Or, you know, they'd give us a cabin.
Oh, that's okay.
And you got food. You got a little bit of beer in that.
Yeah.
And so it was like a paid vacation. So anyway, we were up there. I got up there on the Friday. I get up there and I'm setting the drum kit up, and lo and behold, the snare's not there. The snare of all things. So I phoned some friends up that lived in Huntsville, because I'm, like I said, I was there in the afternoon, so there was still a lot of time. So I phoned a friend up in Huntsville. He said, yeah, no problem. Borrow the snare, come get it, and then you can go back and play. Great. Now, this wasn't in the summer on this particular occasion. It was great late fall, winter was approaching. So drive over to Huntsville, pick up the snare, and then drive back to Parry Sound, just south of Parry Sound.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a drive. And if anybody's driven up there, they know that some of the back roads are the craziest up there.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Windy.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they're probably cut through rock and stuff.
Yeah, it's just crazy driving. So we were driving back, and the driver was in a bit of a hurry. He didn't have to be in too much of a hurry, but he was in a bit of a hurry. And we ended up going off the road, and there was snow there.
Yeah.
So all I remember doing is ducking, because I wasn't driving.
Oh, wow.
Ducking underneath the dash, because I thought we were going to die, because all I seen was water and rock coming towards
shit.
Us.
Okay, yeah.
And he managed to get it into the ditch and right into a snowbank. Yep. So it didn't even hurt the van. We were in perfect condition. So, but that kind of screwed up the whole night, right? We couldn't make it in time.
Oh, really?
That,
okay, yeah.
To get to the gig.
Yeah.
So the owner didn't have a problem with that because Saturday night was the main party anyway.
Yep.
No problem. So that was the start to everything going downhill from then.
Okay.
So we finally get back. Saturday's going well. The pig roast is going good. Everybody's getting really, really loaded. And this is like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, really? Okay.
We have to play at 9.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get a little worried.
Oh, you mean as far as getting loaded, your band was getting...
No, not the band.
Okay.
Everybody else.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody else. We were too busy fishing, you know.
Yeah, okay.
So time passes away. We get up and we play. And everything just went crazy at that point, at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
We had a DJ in between our sets. And everybody was bouncing around and there was fights and everything else was going on.
Yeah.
So at one point I said to the owner, I said, I'm sorry, but we're leaving. I said, you know, I'm not worried about money, but we're leaving. Because this is crazy. Crowd's out of control and everything's going crazy.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to be a part of it. So we...
Well, and even your equipment can get damaged and beer spilled on everything. And
so we tried to leave and we walk outside and the weather had turned for the worst. And it was freezing rain.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we packed the van up, and it was so bad that to turn the van around, full of equipment, all I had to do was push on the back end of the van, and I could turn it right around.
Oh, you're kidding.
So it took probably an hour just to get out of the main area to get back to the main highway, which normally was 5 minutes. So
crazy.
It just happened to be one of those terrible weekends.
Yeah.
One thing happened after another.
Yeah, I've been storm stayed at gigs too, where you get there and it was kind of bad, but then you finally open the door to at 2 a.m, it's crazy. Like, there's no way you'd be driving at all. So.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then you got all the craziness going on in the background too, right?
Oh, for sure. So. Crazy. Do you want to talk about any of your songs? So I know at some point you started writing originals. Is that more current or is that back
in... No, actually, I haven't written that many currently.
Okay. So these ones go back to the Harvest days or...
Yeah, a lot of them go back to the Harvest days when we were playing on the road.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'd be stuck in a...
Yeah, in some motel.
Capuscasing or someplace and be stuck in a motel room and, you know, you get bored or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Start playing away and things just come out sometimes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's all right.
One was about actually being out on the road and not seeing family and friends or girlfriends or whatever for quite a while.
Yep.
And so I wrote that song based on that, and it's called Saturday Night and Sunday Mornings.
Okay.
And it's about living on the road and, you know, or even just on the weekend.
Yeah.
And being stuck in a bar, you know.
Kind of like a Turn the Page by Bob Seger or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't let go because of just one night.
Will this feeling really last? Just a man who needs a gentle touch. Can that really be that bad? Don't you feel that way too? Don't say goodbye.
I'm Tim Hollinger from Pasadena, Newfoundland, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
When I was driving up in the summertime, you get down these back roads up there, north of Orillia, and you get the perspective while you're driving, especially when you're driving down the roads where they're really, really thick with trees on
yep.
both sides. And so, of course, you get this perspective where you don't even see anything. You just see a point
yep,
on the
sure.
road.
Yep.
And everything else is just bush and green and road.
Yep.
And I'm driving and I'm thinking about this, did kind of daydreaming. And at some point it came to me that it's kind of like relationships in some way, where you get into a new relationship and you're kind of at that perspective, where you're looking down the road, everything looks good, but you can't really see where it's going and where it's going to go in the future.
Yeah.
And so there's that mystery about how things are going to turn out and,
yeah.
and things
okay.
like that.
Okay.
So I wrote a song based on that, and one of the roads that I had passed like a million times up there was Black River Road. The Black River runs from Orillia.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, runs from Orillia and goes all the way up, I think, almost to Parry Sound.
Okay, yeah.
So you go past it quite a few times if you're going up and down,
yep.
say, you know, Highway 11 or
okay, yeah.
or those other ones. So I wrote a song based on that, and I called it Black River Road. So
okay.
that was the other one that
That's
I wrote.
That's neat. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Don't you know we're all
Saturday Night and Sunday Mornings is a country song.
Yep, okay.
And which reflected more of the country stuff I was doing back then. And Black River Road is almost like a neo kind of song.
Okay.
It's tuned down into D, and it's got that neo sound.
That's neat, okay, yeah. Good stuff. So I know, cause so we've covered the older, the Harvest and the band when you were in around the Hamilton area. So
yeah.
Now you're, I know for quite a while you lived in Brantford, I think, and then now you're in Kitchener.
Yeah, so before, when I was in Hamilton,
yeah.
I played with the country band for about a year, and things weren't exactly going as planned as far as home life was concerned.
Yeah.
At some point, my wife then told me, she said, if you're going to play all the time, you should do your Neil Young, because that's what you do best.
Yeah.
And I said, are you sure? I said, you're opening a door with that.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I really think you should do that. So, okay. So I put out the word and started the Neil Young tribute band, Ragged Glory, at that time. And we were living in Hamilton.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of people together, and it just kind of took off.
That's great. Okay.
So I was not quite back on the road, but we were playing all over Southern Ontario.
Yeah, because you're actually doing a lot better venues then too, because it'd be a one nighter where you probably get almost like a little bit of a rider with some stuff in the green room and everything.
Yeah,
or maybe opening up for some other bigger band or something.
Yeah, we got lucky. We were playing down in Dunnville.
Okay. Yeah.
Big bar down there, and we're doing our Neil Young thing. Take a break. And there just happened to be a promoter sitting in the audience listening to us. He comes up to me and she's like, yeah. He says, I'm running the Dunnville Music Fest. He said, I don't have a lot of spots open. He said, but I haven't made the posters yet, so I can squeeze you in if you want to do it. Sure, we're in.
Oh, yeah, anything like that.
Blue Rodeo, David Wilcox,
wow, okay.
Kim Mitchell, all those guys were there.
Yeah.
So we got on the bill with them. We weren't on the same stage as them, but regardless.
No, it's still.
It was the same festival.
Yeah.
Oh, I love we were on the bill.
That. That's great.
So that was great.
Yeah.
So that was one of the highlights of Ragged Glory.
Yeah.
And then we got on Breakfast Television.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's so that neat. Was another one. The bass player was a fanatical fan of Breakfast Television.
Yeah, okay.
He would get up every morning, you know, crack of dawn, and he watched Breakfast Television every day. And once we got the band to the point where we're playing all the time and we were doing pretty good, he says, you know what? He says, I'm going to write a letter to Breakfast Television because I want to play at Breakfast Television. And I said, yeah, go ahead, do it.
That's great.
So he wrote them a nice letter and kind of begged them and said that, you know, he was one of their biggest fans.
Yep.
And blah, blah, blah. And we got on Breakfast Television.
That's great.
Doing the Neil Young thing.
That's good.
So
that'd be a whole other experience too.
Yeah.
All right, here's Ken's band Ragged Glory doing the Neil Young song Down by the River.
No reason.
I've done recently is I had thought about getting back into a Neil Young tribute, but I've done it for so long, off and on, that I just kind of wanted to expand more. So there's some really great Canadian songs out there. I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll either combine the Neil Young with that, or I'll just do a Canadian tribute.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I can throw a few Neils in there. And what it's kind of developed into now is we're thinking of doing a main show, say three sets, of total Canadian music done as to the best of our ability. And then at the end of the night, doing a full set of small Neil Young concert.
That'd be great, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the songs that we want to do aren't the mainstays that you hear in the bar every weekend.
Yeah,
you know, so get to play some stuff like Ian Thomas and
even some of the old Stan Rogers. Like, there's a bunch of, whether it's East Coast stuff or, you know, or stuff from the prairies. That there's tons of, like, Cor Blund. Like, it'd be fun to do some of that stuff that they're totally 100% Canadian, but they don't get played probably in the bars and everything. So.
Well, it's like Valdi; he doesn't get played very much either.
Yeah.
Now we're focusing more on the rock tunes, but we are putting a few of those in there.
Yep.
You know, so. Yeah, we want to do this stuff like Chilliwack.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Maybe Loverboy, Colin James.
Yep.
Kim Mitchell.
Oh, for sure.
Steppenwolf.
That'd be fun, dude. Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, what's the lineup in your band? So you got. I'm assuming you're playing electric or acoustic, and then
I'm playing electric, acoustic, and harmonica.
Okay.
Doing most of the vocals.
Yep.
And then there's Steve Tomalty in Hamilton, Aaron Griggs in Hamilton, and then a keyboardist out of Brantford.
Okay, that's good for you.
So we're just waiting for this whole thing to blow over, because we were practicing. I got everything started up to go, and
then everything falls apart.
And then COVID comes along and
that's
puts a hiatus on.
So Ken, why don't you tell me about what your approach is right now with, because you have a solo act, we're trying to make a little bit of a duo, and then you have the full band. So maybe tell me a little bit about your approach with sort of combining all that.
Yeah, I've put it all under the same brand name envelope, so to speak. So it's all under True North Tribute. I'll play as a soloist, and I'll still be under True North.
Yeah.
As a solo, and then I'll do all Canadian music. Play as a duo or a trio, or just bring in the full and do a full tribute act.
Okay.
So that way we can, for me anyway, I can keep busy because I'm able to play almost any venue.
That's right. You can offer whatever the place wants. You have a solution for that.
And it's easier for me because then I'm not practicing 500 different songs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I know. I know exactly what you mean.
Trying to get them all tight.
Yeah, because I'll often jump from kind of like freelance a little bit with different bands, but then you're learning, like, the amount of effort it takes sometimes. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm learning leads and stuff as well. So I'm going back and forth.
Once that kicks in too, you could probably start doing casinos. There's probably all kinds of other venues you can play that's what they want, is they want tribute acts, right? So.
Yeah, we're not. I love playing at the bars.
Yeah.
But as you know, a lot of the bars just can't really afford. They don't have the turnout anymore to be paying. Nope. You know.
And that's what I found too.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And even the bands that are out there that do that, the tribute acts, and then some of the really really tight acts that are out there that don't play a lot of bars. The only way to get around that is to travel.
Yeah.
Not that I mind doing that, but. It's difficult to find guys that...
Oh, for sure,
Yeah.
You know. Oh, I got you.
Yeah, you gotta...
No, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, you gotta do what you can.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thanks a lot for being coming to my house and sitting on the patio on such a beautiful day. It's just amazing to be outside. And thanks a lot for sitting through the interview.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right.
Great.